Now, I mentioned earlier on, Loz, when we arrived, there was some heavy rain and there's more expected late this afternoon. And it looks like it's going to be a wet Melbourne Cup. Adam Pengelly's kindly made his way out to Flemington to join us here. It's always a wonderful setting, and 91,000 here on Saturday, Adam.
Yeah, morning, TK. It was a great day on Derby Day, wasn't it? Fantastic racing throughout the day. It's probably my favourite day of racing in the whole year. This Melbourne Cup tomorrow, I heard some comments from Nick Williams yesterday saying, turn the taps on. He obviously didn't speak to the big man upstairs because he's turned the taps on for him. So I don't think Liam O'Keefe and the track staff here at Flemington need to do too much watering of the track. It's going to have a nice bit of give in the ground. Just depends how much rain we get this afternoon, I suppose.
What did you make of, after the barrier draw, Yucatan drifting, drew barrier 23? Are you still a fan, or you've sort of...
Yeah, I'm probably not as confident, to be honest, Laurie, as what I was before the barrier draw. It's funny, when you listen to Nick Williams and you hear him speak, he says, oh, barrier draws don't mean anything in a Melbourne Cup. They've got a long straight run to the first turn. But I think the biggest telling indication is his reaction straight after he picked up barrier 23. And you sort of see he half screwed up his face a little bit, thinking, oh, no. But it certainly makes the race a little bit more open, a little bit more interesting, I would have thought. I think James McDonald from barrier 23 there is going to have to press on at some stage and try and slot in and find a spot. He doesn't want to be going back to, you know, in the final six or seven in the second half of the field. I think he has to try and go forward, and he's going to need a bit of luck. Some of these boys will be playing jockeys in the runs of the first turn there. They'll be trying to keep him out three and four wide. And if he gets that luck, obviously it's going to be very hard to beat. But I think barrier 23 does make it a much more open race.
Yeah, just on those Europeans, Loz and Adam, Yucatan 23, Van der Ham back in 1976 through the mud. You could hardly see the field. It actually won from gate 23, Rostropovich, gate 21. Just going through that Yucatan, gate 23, Rostropovich, 21. Cross counter, draw wide, barrier 19, Magic Circle, 17. The Caulfield Cup winner, probably the best drawn runner there in gate number 6, and Cliffs of Moher, gate number 9 for Ryan Moore.
Yeah, just talking about Yucatan there, TK, with the speed a bit drawn out wide with Rostropovich, I think he'll go forward as well, probably cross counter from that wide-ish gate. So it might not be all bad news, barrier 23, I thought, for Yucatan. He can follow something across and hopefully find a spot.
All the talk's been about the European horses, but the locals, who's our best chance in the locals?
At this stage, Laurie, I've sort of pinned the best local hope on Youngstar. I know we discussed last week a little bit of concern that Kerrin's jumped off to ride cross counter, but the more I look at her Caulfield Cup run, the more I think... It was an effort full of merit. I know it's probably coming 12 months too early for her. I think that's certainly the opinion of Chris Waller. Given she's only a four-year-old mare, she'll probably be more seasoned in 12 months' time. But I think if one of the locals is going to run really well, I think it's Youngstar, in my opinion.
And I don't want to spark this massive debate because, you know, I'm in love with Winx, like everybody else in Australian racing is in love with Winx, and I'm happy to call Winx the world's best horse. But the other world's best horse, I've got to say, in the last 24 hours has just put another stamp and another tick in another box. And we're talking about the great Enable, who went back-to-back in the Arc, not easy to be done, and I think has now become the first Arc winner to then go travel across, and it just won the Breeders' Cup in Churchill Downs, which was magnificent, beating a world-class field. And that bloke, Frankie Dettori, he can't find Flemington, right? But I can tell you what, he's won every major race in the world.
Yeah, I heard you talk about Frankie before, TK. 16 times he's been here down in the Melbourne Cup. 25 years ago was his first go. Enable, wow, wasn't she outstanding there yesterday at Churchill Downs? I suppose the biggest thing for me is she won her second Arc de Triomphe this year, but she came off an 11-month break. Mm-hmm. She had one run beforehand on the synthetic track at Kempton, I think it was. So she was always going to be underdone going into the Arc de Triomphe, which is basically, it's our Cox Plate, their version of the Cox Plate, really.
And to win world's version of the Cox Plate.
It is. It's an outstanding race. For her to win two of those in a row and then go over to the US and win on the Breeders' Cup meeting is an outstanding achievement. What would ever happen if they were to meet? I don't know. You don't want to start the debate, but you sort of do want to start the debate, don't you?
But she's won in four different countries, so that's a fair effort, because it's hard enough when you're just training them in your own environment, but to win and get them up and travel with the horses, it makes her a pretty good horse.
Yeah, the Arnie Ryder, credit where credit's due, but winning in four different countries in Europe's a bit like winning in Brisbane and Melbourne and Sydney, you know, so we can count them as three. But travelling to America and winning at Churchill Downs is absolutely massive.
Yeah, that's huge, TK. Obviously, she's raced in Ireland and France and England, but going to the US is a massive feather in their cap. Massive feather in their cap.
Yeah, which is big. We look forward to it. The outstanding thing on the weekend, too, we saw the filly in the Coolmore. Of course, if you win the Coolmore and you're a stallion, you can be worth 30, maybe 40 million. We saw a little filly win.
Did you see Anthony Thompson after the race, TK? I don't know whether he knew whether to laugh or cry, because his gun stallion Zoo Star aside, the first three crossed the line, which is a massive, massive achievement. But the filly beating the two colts in Zeus and the Lean Mean Machine, who, with that Group 1 on the board, they're worth, as you mentioned, $25, $30 million. So I think Anthony had very much had mixed emotions there on the weekend. I thought it was great to see Sunlight run in the race and win it, the filly. Tony McAvoy never shirks a challenge, always puts his horses up against the best company they can race against. For her to win, she was so tough. And Zusane, to be honest, had a cold, Laurie, at about the 150, 200 metre mark. He just slipped off her back and thought he'll go straight past her here. But gee, she dug in. She's a tough, tough filly.
Yeah, she is. And TK was spruiking her all week. He said the run in the Minicato was fantastic. He put his money where his mouth was and supported her on Saturday. But James Cummings had a big day on Saturday as well, didn't he? Training three winners.
He's going to have a huge carnival, isn't he, Laurie? He had Ranier. Osborne Bulls, interesting runner, winning down the straight. They're thinking about maybe taking him to Dubai next year to race the Dubai World Cup meeting. And then obviously his day was capped off when Best of Days won the Kennedy Mile. So I think it's taken just a little bit of a time for James to get his head around this Godolphin job. He's been in the job for, what, more than 12 months? Probably closer to 18 months now, but gee, the team's firing at the moment. Obviously, Avilius there tomorrow in the Melbourne Cup.
And just another byproduct of that Sunlight beating Suzanne in the Coolmore is that Anthony's wife owns Sunlight. So, yeah, well done, honey. Just cost us $28 million for winning. But, hey, Adam, thanks for making the effort, mate, and coming out to Flemington.
No problems, TK. We'll have our tips for the Melbourne Cup tomorrow morning.
Look forward to that. So we'll have our top four, our top three, and our winners. And who knows? We'll just do our best.